Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you again for the privilege and the opportunity to come together. And as we come to this time, Father, with all the distractions that's going on, even right now in our lives, in our minds, in our heart, in our lives, you know them all. Father, please calm the storms. Help us to hear from you. Do the work that only you can do. Please, Lord, put forth your Spirit. Help the one who speaks, for he is a frail creature of dust, slow of tongue and mind. Lord, help the ones who hear, for they are stiff-necked and hard-hearted. Please, Lord, do not leave us to ourselves. Stoop, speak, do the work that only you can do. Convict of sin. Encourage where encouragement is needed. Help us, Lord, to focus upon you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would turn to Isaiah chapter 9 as we look at different titles of Christ through the prophet Isaiah. We started last week in preparation for this Advent season, the coming, where we celebrate the coming of Christ. And these are titles and different passages that we started looking at. And Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, we are really only going to look at one verse this morning. There's several titles here that we need to address, and hopefully we will get through them all. And you are familiar with this verse. You have probably even sang this verse. Handel's Messiah, one of the songs in his oratorio, he comes directly out of Isaiah 9:6, and many of you probably even now are humming it in your head, the song, and it's a wonderful song. It's a wonderful passage that you may, in some way, I'm sure everyone here is vaguely familiar with this verse. But in the beginning of this verse, I didn't feel right just jumping to the titles: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I felt like we needed to touch a little bit on the beginning of this great verse to build a little bit of the background. So let's dive right into it. That's the introduction. That's it. Let's just dive into the beginning of this verse and then looking at the titles in closing. Isaiah 9:6 says this: "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." His name will be called. And then he gives a list of titles. Let's look at the three elements building up to this, because it's extremely important. The first phrase that we need to understand is, "For unto us a child is born. The Son of Man, he's referring to the Son of Man. That this was a statement of this coming child, his humanity. That he was born a son, he was born a child, he was born of man. This shows us him in the flesh, that he is like all of us. He is likened to us and like us in every human being. He was born, he grew up, and he died. He got tired, he was hungry, he was even happy. Isaiah, as we will look at next week in Isaiah 53, he was also a man of sorrow, a man of grief. We see in Matthew, when he flipped over the tables in the temple, he was also what? A man that even got angry. So we see all these things. We see also that we know that he was hurt also. He felt pain when he was nailed to the cross. He cried out. So we see that he was like us in every way. And we know by the scriptures in Hebrews chapter 4 that he experienced the things that we experience in every temptation, in every way known to us. He experienced this that was common to man, but with one exception, without sin. So that meant when temptation, when temptation came to our Lord, He saw the beginning to the end of that temptation. Could you imagine if we were able to experience sin on that level? So he experienced the fullness of that in every way. And he was tempted in every way, common to man, except without sin. So the prophet says, "For unto us a child is born." Speaks of his humanity. Speaks of him being like us. And then the next phrase says, "Unto us a son is given." So the first one, if it speaks to the Son of Man, the second one speaks to the Son of God. The terminology is different. It says, not born, but given. So, a child is born, a son is given. So he's showing us here that he's speaking to Christ's deity. So we saw his humanity, now we see his deity. And really, and I agree with Dr. Sproul, here we see that it's a representation in showing us that really the pre-existent Christ. An example of him, that he was Christ, he was the deity of Christ even before he was born. It shows an intent here, that there was a plan, that there was a thought, a plan of execution, that the prophet is prophesying what will happen, that God had a plan. That there was a child that will be born, showing his humanity, a son that will be given. You have to plan to give. And so we see that there was not, this wasn't just chance and God was sitting up there going, "Well, I guess it's not working out. The garden, the Eden has fallen and that experiment has failed, so now we have to send you." it shows us that there was a plan of execution. That he laid out, that there's thoughtfulness behind this. So he was given to be our Savior. You can hold your fingers right there. I want to read one passage to you that as I was thinking, looking over my notes this morning, I thought about this passage in Philippians, if I can find it here, Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7 says this. Well, let me read verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Jesus did not consider it wrong to be equal with God. The truth is, this is total side note, but most humans today don't see it robbery to be equal with God. But verse 7 is key. Jesus didn't consider it robbery, but look what he did in verse 7. But made himself of no reputation. What does that mean? That means he poured himself, as it says, made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. Meaning, we are in the likeness of man. He came to be like us. We are, if you back up, take that ending thought and back up logically, we are of no reputation. We're men. We're fallible. We're weak and frail. But Jesus, not seeing it robbery, poured himself out as a bondservant. So we see in this passage the introduction to these titles. We see the Son of Man. We see the Son of God. And then we see, it goes, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders. I will tell you, this one phrase brings me great comfort. Do you know what, just as elementary as I can get, do you know what this is saying? That God is sovereign. That He holds all things. There's nothing in this universe outside of His control. He is governing everything. It is upon His shoulders. He will govern it. He will work out His will perfectly. Sovereignly. This is teaching that He is the King of Kings. Amen? That He is in sovereign rule. Listen, yesterday, I don't know about y'all's homes, but it just seems like our home gets more and more crazy. And yesterday as we sat down to eat lunch, or maybe it was the day before, I can't even remember. I remember praying at lunchtime, God, thank You that You are on Your throne. And there's no panic. You're not worried. You're not concerned. You are in complete control. And no matter how chaotic it is right here, you're not worried, not one bit. That helps me. I don't know if it helps you. That helps quell the storm in my life. For me to sit and think, He is sovereign. He rules over all things. He doesn't need us. We need Him. Amen? The government will be upon His shoulders. You know, the children's catechism is the answer that says, no, we cannot see Him, but He always sees us. The government shall be upon His shoulders. This child, this one that we are going to celebrate this month, is seated at the right hand of God, and the government shall be upon His shoulders. And although we cannot see that visibly right now, there will be one day when we will see it visibly. He will rule. He is ruling. We will just see it. Him visibly ruling over all the earth. So this is the preface to these titles. For unto us a child is born, His humanity. For unto us a son is given, His divinity. And the government will be upon His shoulders that He is ruling King. And then we see these titles. And His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let's just look at them briefly together, starting with Wonderful. Even when Jesus was teaching on earth, those who heard Him that were not following Him, many times over in the Gospels, you will see that they were astonished at His teachings. They were even taken back. The ones who weren't following Him, because they saw that He taught, and you will see this phrase often, that He taught as one with authority. They were even able to recognize it. And so this wonderful thing, I could just sit back and think in my mind that His teachings are so astonishing, are so overwhelming, that those who hear it, even today, those who hear these words are amazed by it. Even if they reject it. How many times have you heard somebody say, I'm not going, who can believe that? Isaiah is also the one that says the word will go out and will accomplish exactly what it intends to do. That it will not come back void, right? What people don't realize is what Isaiah was saying is that it will either draw men unto Him or drive men away from Him. It will accomplish exactly what it intends to do. Did you know that? It's not the music that draws men in. It's not the great youth programs that draw men in. It's not even the great fellowships that draw men in. It's the preaching of His Word. It will either push them away or draw them to Him. That's what Scripture teaches. It's the teaching and the preaching of God's Word. That the Holy Spirit does exactly what is intended in every human heart. It does not come back void. Wonderful. wonderful. We see how wonderful He is in His works, the miracles that He performs, the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. The seas are calmed. The dead are raised. We see the wonderful, wonderful things that He's done in His birth. That He was human, just as we have already covered. That He felt. He is the perfect high priest because He knows what we go through. The frailty of our bodies, of our minds, of our wills, He understands while being God. How wonderful is that? We see even the wonder in His death, that He was obedient unto death. That He poured Himself out knowing what was to happen. And listen, don't let anybody tell you that Christ came and that He was a ransom. That He bought you back from the devil. Because He was a substitution. He wasn't the ransom. He did not die on the cross to appease Satan. He died on the cross to appease His Father. To appease God. He did not pay Satan anything. And all that He dies for, every one of them will come to know Him. Isn't that what John chapter 6 says to us? That all that the Father has given me, I will not lose one of them. I think that's pretty clear. Amen? So, it wasn't a ransom. He wasn't paying a thief's ransom. He was not paying a liar's ransom. He was dying as a substitution for God's people. Amen? How much... That's wonderful, isn't it? Glory! That's good news for you and I because, listen, you and I could not do it. Amen? You couldn't make that decision. If you had 1,000 chances, you could not make that decision. Do you know why? Because you would decide every time to do it your way. To do it your way. And so even in His death, we see how wonderful He is. And in His resurrection, we definitely see how wonderful He was. Because He conquered sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Y'all, you just covered that on Wednesday night. How wonderful that chapter is. And if this is not true, we are to be pitied above all men. That He conquered sin. So we see how wonderful He is. Now let's see what it means to see Him as Counselor. He knows all things. He knows all things, everything possible and everything actual. All the past, all the present, and all the future. It's amazing to me how we don't spend more time going to Him for counsel. Amen? Do you know, Beth and I spend a lot of time counseling. And it's amazing to me how we can give the best answers that we possibly know. Pray about things. Go to God. Even search the Scriptures. And we can give the best possible answers to somebody that we know. But we're fallible. God is not. Do you want to know what His counsel is? Here it is. This is God's counsel. Do you know, I'm sure if we could give testimony today, I'm sure many of you could say the same thing. And I'm a young man, but I need to say this. I've never, since I've been a believer, since the age of 18, I cannot think of one time that I could look back in my life and go, you know, I'm sorry that I did what God told me to do. I cannot think of one example in my life that I could sit back and go, you know God told me, I know it says this in Scripture, but I wish I would have done something else. I can't think of one example. I'm sure many of, if we could open up testimony, I'm sure you could say, but I bet we could all, we all have examples of even the godliest, best counsel we could seek sometimes has not always been the best. Amen? Wonderful. Counselor. You will never seek His counsel in vain. It won't be in vain. And you will never regret it. I wrote down just five things, five reasons, and they're so simple, and I'm sure there's a thousand, but I just wrote down five reasons of why to seek His counsel. And I'm going to quickly go through them. Because they help. They help me. I pray they help you. Number one is this. He knows the worst about me. And yet, He still loves me. Isn't it great to have parents in your life that may know hard things about you, but it's nice to go to them and be able to go to them because simply because they love you. Amen? And if earthly parents can understand this concept, how much greater is it to be able to go to our Heavenly Father who knows everything? I was talking to Kurt even this morning about a letter that I received that really, boy, it was sent to me and it told me a lot of things that I do wrong. And do you know, honestly, the truth is, that's not even the half of it. So how great is it to go to your Heavenly Father who knows the worst about you, but you're still His? That's wonderful. Second thing is this. It's the polar opposite of that. It's this, number two. He knows the best about you. So He knows the worst about you, and He knows the best about you. Even when everybody else doesn't understand, it doesn't matter. He does. Your best intentions may be taken wrong, and that's okay. Because God knows, right? God knows. So He knows the worst about you, and He knows the best about you. Number three, He knows what He is going to make or do with you. He's the one that's saying, this is my plan for you. This is what I want you to do. This is what I'm doing. It's not what your father, your mother, your grandparents, your whoever else. It's what He's doing in your life. So He knows the plans that He has for you. Number four. Hypocrisy is foolishness. You can't fool God. So you can bargain all you want. God, if I do this, will you do that? If I act like this, you can't. Hypocrisy is foolishness. And number five. As His child. As His. You can rest assured that no prayer, no cry for help, no tear will escape Him. He's wonderful. He's a counselor. Thirdly, He's mighty God. He's sovereign. He holds all things in His hands. He is the supreme power. He is over all things. Everything else, even the most powerful thing on earth, is secondary at best to Him. Every form of authority or power on earth exists by His hand or has been given permission by His hand. He is God. Mighty God. This should give us comfort. This should help us in the face of trials. Do you remember those times on the playground when you were little when you would say, "My daddy can beat up your daddy"? Do y'all remember those conversations? My dad's stronger than your dad. My dad can run faster than your dad. My dad can beat up your dad. Guess what? Your dad has all power. Amen? Let's go to Him. If your Father, if I'm telling you right now that your Heavenly Father has all power, why do we not go to Him? Why are we so stubborn? Why are we so rebellious? Why is it so deeply embedded in our hearts? It's silliness, isn't it? My daddy can whoop up on anything. Hallelujah. It should deepen your worship. It should deepen our honor. It should deepen things in our lives. Almighty God, Counselor, Wonderful. These things, it should help us this season as we look at the coming and we're getting ready to celebrate the coming of Christ. It should deepen things in our lives. It should help us to push off all the little things that so easily beset us. Listen, do you know how, I get so angry about things that are dumb. Amen? I get so worked up about things that they have no eternal significance at all. And I get entangled with them like that. Have I forgotten who my Father is? It just carries me away. And we're all like that. I'm not the only one. Every one of us are like that. Some of you aren't even going to get out of the parking lot before something crawls all over you. I'm serious. I'm being serious. Some of you are going to be mad before you even leave that parking lot. Probably some of you are mad right now. Joey's saying, "Nope, I'm not mad." But if He's mighty God, can't He take care of everything? So sometimes I feel like God treats me similar to how I view my kids. I look at my wife and I'm like, I don't care that they're mad at me. I'm their dad. Right? As Grandma used to say, you can get happy in the same pants you're mad at in. Right? And, I mean, these things are so simple, but they're so deeply they reveal where our hearts really are. And I'm guilty as much as everybody else in this room. Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father. He's timeless. There's no beginning and there's no end. He's not going anywhere. I don't want to bring up or stir any emotions, but it's just got to be said. Our greatest love on this earth, our greatest loves, I'm talking about all of us, the ones that we trusted and loved the most, cannot even put off death. Some of you that are widows and widowers understand what I'm talking about. Our greatest trusted, the people that we trust the most in this world, couldn't fight off death. But He can. There's no beginning and no end to Him. He won't leave. The biggest fear in my life, I'll tell you, the biggest fear in my life, my children rebelling against God. That's the biggest fear. The second biggest fear that I have is living without Beth. But He won't ever leave. Amen. He's the Everlasting Father. Think about that. What does that mean? The Everlasting Father. The one that is wonderful and has good counsel and that can whoop up everybody on the parking lot, everybody on the playground. He's the Everlasting Father. He won't ever leave. You will never be alone. You will not be abandoned. Amen? No matter how hard life is, no matter what trials we're going through, no matter what we face, He's the Everlasting Father. It can't be more plain than that. This is so simple. Let's worship the King. Worship our Father. And last, which is so, I mean, God's Word, it works. I don't have to come up with elaborate outlines. It's right. The Prince of Peace. It's just so, it helps my soul. Rich Mullins sang this song, and I've shared this song with you many times before. Verse that helps me with the Prince of Peace. Help me, Father, for I'm shaking like a leaf. You have been King of my glory. Be Prince of my peace. Hold me, Jesus. Hold me, Jesus. For you have been King of my glory. Now will you be Prince of my peace. Amen. Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. It just fits. It fits together. It fits together. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for being faithful, even especially when we are faithless. Thank you for doing your work in our lives. Thank you for not ever, ever leaving us. Lord, would you help us? There are things in our lives, Lord. There are people, there are family members, our own children, other family members that we're concerned about, Lord, that they're not in the faith. They don't know you. They don't really even know how to celebrate this season. Lord, would you do a work? Would you do that which only you can do? Be merciful to them as you have been to us. Lord, there are things in our lives, sickness, illness, financial situations. Lord, there are so many issues and things at work, things at home, things in marriage, Lord. There's so many issues. Father, would you quell the storm? You have been King of our glory. Would you be Prince of our peace? Thank you for not leaving us to ourselves. Hear our cries as we come to you. Do the work that only you can do for your honor and for your glory alone. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.